Blog Talk Radio.
If I sit and the words keep coming, they won't go away, they just keep coming.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the year 2022. This is Les Paul. How are you on the Advocacy and Empowerment Show, Dreamcatchers, with Les Paul Morgan? Woohoo! We had a happy new year. We had a sad new year. We had a lot of loss last year. We have a lot of people who are sick right now. We have people who are struggling. We have people who are winning. And we have people who not are losing but are struggling. And we live in a time where it shouldn't be that way. But you know what? Some of my key words, and yes, this is the Dreamcatchers, but I changed up the name a little bit to kind of bring along two topics that I like to talk about a lot. And there's a lot more topics in that family, but they are advocacy and empowerment. Advocacy is when you advocate for change, whether it's local, whether it's advocating for change in your family with a person who's in need of assistance and learning how to grow and learn all kinds of new things. Advocacy can be empowering yourself to grow stronger, going to a class, learning that you have barriers within yourself that are blocking you from reaching your full potential. I believe that's one of the biggest enemies that I've met in my life, and I believe you have too, and a lot of people have. Not everybody, but, you know, the empowerment is empowering ourselves to overcome what seems like an insurmountable barrier. It can be a disability. It can be something that is a block in your mind that's not allowing you to move forward. It can be you telling yourself no every time you think yes. I want to say yes, and I say no. 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 I want to say no, you know. That was me, by the way, a long time ago. When I was in my 20s, when I had my brain aneurysm and I had a brain injury and I had another brain aneurysm. But when I had the first brain aneurysm, I went from a strapping young 22-year-old healthy young guy who was working full-time, who thought he had a future in his hands, that life was just going to be great and just believed in everything is possible. And by the way, I still do. If you don't believe it, I'll prove you're wrong. I promise you. I want you to prove to yourself more than me, because I had to be proved wrong by my own family members and friends who said, Les Paul, you think too lightly of yourself. I won't allow you to think that way. Thank God I had people in my life throughout the years, most of them, who have passed away were some of the wisest people I ever knew. I still know some extremely wise people that I work with and at Walton Options and at places I go and meet people who are struggling with different disabilities or barriers in life. You know, I'm sick of the word disability. You notice I didn't put the word disability in the top title of the show. And that was the reason I wanted to say that way is be a dream catcher, advocate for empowerment in your life and change your life. And the word show, this way you can say, and show yourself what you're made of. But Les Paul, you don't know what I've been through. Whew. Lord have mercy. After this horrible pandemic, after COVID-19, after losing so many friends, after it feeling like a war on earth, after watching disagreement and argument and fights and people being killed around the world for no reason, and unnecessary anger and unnecessary hatred of people, it's enough to make you want to give up. But at the same time, you should fight harder than ever, to allow yourself the opportunity to grow. And yes, you hear my voice is a little scrappy this evening. It started getting that way. I had laryngitis about 3 weeks ago, and it seems to have come back. I don't feel sick or anything, but my vocal cords are kind of messing with me. So I might stop and play a song or two along the way, or have a guest speak or something along the way to help fill in for the times my voice is getting rough. But I feel fine right now. I'm not sick. I don't feel sick, at least. But anyway, you know, we've lost so many people to COVID-19, but we've lost so many people to cancer and all kinds of different things. I've watched people that I worked with and loved like family leave this world and cried my heart out over them. And it was very sad. In the past few years, we've lost a lot of people, haven't we, around the country, around the world, around the United States, around our hometown, students in the schools, children can't play like they used to. And when I go into a classroom where I'll mention Megan, that when we go into a class together with some of the other teachers to teach a program we have called Career Boost to the students, well, we can't go in right now because COVID-19 has picked up so bad. We can't go back into the school system. But as soon as that is, we'll get to meet with students with disabilities who are having the same kind of issues, but it's a lot of times people not understanding us. And sometimes we don't understand our abilities. Remember that key word, abilities. I'll try to read some of what I typed, and I typed it all with text, word to text. On my cell phone, and so I see a couple of errors in it already, but it says, now a special message from me, Les Paul. That's me. Yay. I'm a silly guy. I love to cut up. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. I love to enjoy life, and sometimes I have struggles, but I hope you'll find that I like having fun, and I like meeting new people, and I want you to like meeting new people and make new friends and advocates along the way who not only can help you, but you can help them, and we can build this ultimate dynamite dream team to go around the world advocating and empowering for each other to show what we can really do. I don't think our life is just for sitting around eating bonbons, and I'm not saying that's what everybody's doing, but I picture myself on my own little cloud up in heaven, and I'm just sitting here, yeah, I'll have a bonbon today. Tomorrow I'll have a bucket of ice cream. I'll just float on my cloud. And all of a sudden it pops me off that cloud and says, Les Paul, and this is when I'm in heaven after I long have been gone. You know, you didn't come up here to sit around and on a fluffy cloud and go puff, puff, daddy on it. You came up here to work and have some fun along with other people and to associate with people. I believe the human spirit, a big part of it, is the fact that we have the ability to communicate like no other animal on the world. The human being is special. I don't care if you have a disability. What I care about is that you like and care about people and that you want to learn and prove yourself wrong like I've done so many times and like Megan has. And even our little dog has proven himself wrong. We nearly lost our dog a couple of times, and everybody was saying, I'm sorry, your dog's not going to make it. And he's sitting over beside us asleep, breathing right now. And so the reason I threw all this in the beginning is because I know there's a lot of negativism out there that it bothers me, but I can understand it sometimes that people like to gossip and talk bad about people rather than get to know them and really become friends. Wouldn't it be beautiful that if we, the people of America, came together, and many of the people of Brazil and Colombia all came together and started helping each other and going across to Russia and China and around the world and sending little peace daisies and love and flowers and all kinds of things instead of war. What are we fighting for? Love. That is the answer. That's what the Beatles were talking about. That's one of the things they were all about. And I am a Beatles fan. You see right here, and I typed it. I actually put it on here, that in March, I'll be 60 years old. And 2021 was a very hard year on everyone around the world, including for myself. I had a really hard time in last year, several health problems. Kim, she was talking to me a few minutes ago. She's had health problems. A lot of people on Brain Injury Radio who are hosts for a long time. I was talking with Kim, and I didn't realize it, but she said we've been here approximately 12 years. I didn't even realize I'd been here this long. I lose track of time sometimes. Wow, where did those 12 years go? And, you know, what can we do to speed up the progress that we need? What can we do to get the school systems to understand our needs even better? Like going to your IEP meeting if you're a student when you're in school, so you can tell them what you want to do. So instead of them standing there and saying, okay, what do you want to do, and them making a plan, one of the things we do with our Career Boost program that Megan and I are involved in, and we love it because we get to meet all these wonderful young students, is that we teach them empowerment skills and education skills and to search for a job when they get older, because everybody wants a great job, but if you start young, look at where you can go with it. It's wonderful when you start young enough, start saving young enough, start thinking about the future young enough. I wish I would have had that wisdom when I was a kid. There's something big for enjoying fun. I had a lot of fun as a kid. I rode a dirt bike, I rode a bicycle, I rode a smaller bicycle. I had electric tanks, army tanks that we drove all over the yard, all kinds of things. And I had fun with those things. I used to watch airplane shows where I live in Aiken, South Carolina. There used to be an Air Force base just like 5 miles from my house. And I used to drive down there with my dad and mom, and we watched them do the Air Force shows, the Thunderbirds and, well, I can't say the other one for some reason, the Thunderbirds and Blue Angels and all these special fighter planes and bombers and all this stuff. And I made me look at the sky, that the future is as big as you can make it. So why, if you have a disability, are you saying you can't do that? Why am I holding myself back just because I have a disability? Well, my disability is too severe last fall. I understand that. I know a lot of people hurt. I've met and worked with people who lived in pain all the time. I know people right now close by that are in a lot of pain and wear a smile when they talk about it, because what else can you do? We can give up and surrender, but is that the best option? No. Learn how to advocate and empower yourself so that you can advocate for others and empower them. That's basically what we do at Walton Options, where we work. And I'm not talking about Walton Options as much as the greater world community. Wouldn't it be greater if on a grand scale that the world really got it? And it doesn't. A lot of times, you know, I thought 2020 was going to be the year that we're all enlightened and we see all this wonderful change and we see this big, bold future. Instead, it's another hard year. And another hard year, then Corona comes along. Then it really hits and wraps around the whole earth and takes our country over and our world over. And it's got to be hard. There are people out there struggling. I tell you, we're trying our best to help. You can call in and talk and chat. The number is 424-243-2255. 9540 and press 1 if you'd like to speak. But you can also think about what I've said, and you might come up with some comments also that you would like to say or type in. And hold on just a minute. I've got to drink something because my voice sounds really rough right now. Sorry. And this hit me this evening. I sounded fine all the way up to about almost 8 o'clock, and it started getting me. I don't know if this is laryngitis or what. I've had that once earlier. But let me see. What was I going to say? Okay. I'm going to skip down below. If you're reading the comments, I'm not reading the comments that I put, what I typed up as much, because I can't find my regular reading glasses. And I'm using some readers right now, and they don't focus 100% as good. And this is a different computer. And so I'm trying to make sure that I don't lose anything. But down near the bottom, I put Power to the People. That's a song by John Lennon, Power to the People. It's one I use often in disability rights events, meaning people power. People, we've got to get together and realize that we do have more strength than we realize when we feel like we're trapped in something that we can't get out of. And it takes finding friends. It takes contacting, like I said, a for independent living or the disability agency or Brain Injury Radio, especially right now. You know, you can call here anytime and call in and get support. You can reach BrainLine. I think that's still working. And you can also put your text on Brain Injury Radio Network. And we have one page with wonderful art by people with disabilities. It's beautiful art. And that's one thing that really calms me down when I'm feeling bad or have a bad migraine from all my brain surgeries I've had. I've had several brain surgeries. If you're listening, you don't know me. But let me see. Where was I going to read next? Okay, Power to the People. That means taking back control of our lives. That's what that means to me. Hey, you know, power to the people. You're the people. This means taking back control of our lives. I didn't realize I had put control of my life when I had my brain aneurysm, then followed by a brain injury, then another aneurysm and injury. My father had started doing all my medical bills. My mother was taking care of my health after I came home from the hospital, being there 3 months, and my insurance ran out. And I didn't know where I was at. And at a time like that, you couldn't expect me to understand what was going on. But my mother, she said, there's got to be something in there. They were saying, Mrs. Morgan, send your son to a high-level nursing home. He's not going to make it much longer. Please put him there. It's too much work on you and your husband. My mother, I thought my mother was going to beat her up. She was mad. She said, you dare say that about my son? And I'm going to run you out the door. You get out of here now before I hit you. She was mad because she was telling her son didn't have any worth and that I didn't exist anymore. I was hearing it almost like a dream. I was hearing it like a fog. Like I was hearing words and I couldn't understand what they were. They were floating through my brain. As I had my brain injury awakening from a coma, to yesterday, the song that Paul McCartney wrote as a Beatle, which he dreamed. So that must have some meaning in my life that I don't know yet. He dreamed the song, woke up, and started writing it down. I had a dream when I woke up out of my coma. And I was trying to speak, and my mother said she couldn't understand my words. And yet, I fell back like I wasn't even there, only to do it again, and she says, oh, my God, he's alive. And so I'm not saying that for a pity party. I don't want one. That's old news. That's yesterday's news. It's a long and winding road of recovery for all of us. If you're going through it right now, we want you to join us on Brain Injury Radio. Keep tuning in. Keep tuning in to Kim's show tune in to all the other Brain Injury Radio shows and really learn how to find that power to the people inside of yourself. And that's what I'm talking about. And let me see, the next one I wrote was, inclusion. Inclusion is another one of my favorite words. Right behind empowerment, inclusion is one of my favorite words. What does inclusion mean? Does anybody know that's listening? Anybody understand inclusion, what it really means? Does it mean include those people over there? I don't think so. Does it mean only the three people behind me because they have a Corvette club or something? No, I don't think so either. What would that mean? Let's think. Inclusion. Include everyone at the table. No leaving anyone behind anymore. That means include everyone in every walk of life, every way possible, and in whatever device is needed to help that person, whether it be assistive technology, whether it be a wheelchair, whether it be a special set of headphones, a speakerphone, braille, whatever, a special sign language interpreter, whatever. And we actually teach that where we work. We have them come in the school system too. It's really neat to see how the school system has gotten better, and yet we're all struggling with the coronavirus at the same time. And so number three is a big word, and hold on a second, I hear my voice breaking up again, so I'm going to take a sip of this drink. Sorry about that, but my voice is kind of dry and a little bit sore. Okay, number three is sacrifice. I said it louder because without sacrifice, do you really have any gains? Do you really have anything passionate that you're after, or are you just ready to get everything without any effort? I'm actually glad I had to sacrifice a lot of things, and my mother told me she learned a lot of things through sacrifice. And, you know, I'm trying to think of how to say this. Sacrifice, a lot of people, excuse me, my throat, went before us and paid it forward for us to have a better life. And they paved a hard road of dirt, rocks, and gravel, and heat, blood, sweat, and tears. Many died. Many sacrificed. Many gave their lives to save their children. Great world wars were fought where people starved and died. Many millions of people died for us to make it through to the promised land, really, of inclusion, including everyone at the table, leaving no one behind anymore. That's a cool way to live life, isn't it? Sure, we're all different. If you have a different disability, that's fine. If you want to hang out with us, that's fine. If you want to go hang out with another club, that's fine. Go to as many as possible. Come to ours, come to yours, go to that one. I remember when I first started a brain injury support group in Aiken, South Carolina, we had a lot of people coming at first. And it was like, wow, this is awesome. And it was me, and it was Josephine Prescott, and it was Cindy Anzik, our director, and a few other people helping here and there. But Josephine and I were just working so hard, not knowing what we're doing. We're having fun. And then I realized, oh, God, this scares me. I've never done this before. But we made it fun, and we started working together, and we had more and more and more people coming, to the point the building was about to bust the walls. We couldn't believe it. We had about 50-something people in the building. And those were the days, man. That was awesome going through that and seeing people working together and smiling and having fun, hanging out with each other, not just having to hang with their mom or dad or hang out by themselves alone. It brought community together. That's one of the big things I like, community. Community is a powerful tool. It really is. And before I go any farther, though, I want to play a song in just a minute just to kind of help my throat a little bit and to I haven't played my songs in a while. If you're still there, Kim, I don't know if you are trying to get to them. Well, I'm on a different computer tonight. Even though it looks like your everyday computer, it's a newer one and it's a little bit different. So I got to type my name on here to bring them all up. Okay. Show my songs. And there's a reason I want to play this song. I can't even say the name of it, so I really got to look for it. But, let me see, where is it? I typed my name and it didn't bring mine up. Boom. Well, maybe I can't do that. I thought I could. L-E-S. I must have bumped something. Oh, so I can see it. Okay. I'm looking for someone who I made a friend with. And it just goes to show, I used to be the shyest guy you would ever meet. I didn't want to talk to people. I felt like I walked around the corners just to avoid talking after I had my brain injuries. I didn't like talking. And people would say, why don't you ever talk less? We want to talk to you. I was scared to death of what I might say. I didn't know what to say. And I could barely talk. I was worried that people might make fun of me because I had trouble speaking. And this song right here by Adam Sams is what I was looking for. Hold Me Together. Please listen to this song.
The city's sleeping, but I am awake, looking for a sign, trying to feel alive. The stars are a chorus, but I'm alone, alone in my strife, a voice in the night. Where is the cure for a broken heart? When will it end to my wandering stars? I've been torn to pieces, I've been pulled apart. Can you hold me together?
Thank you.
Can you hold me together?
Think of another person, music related, that is very powerful and as a YouTube guy that I like. They call him the Professor of Rock. He wears all these cool caps and he does a bio on different artists. Like, he'll pick up one singer, sometimes he'll pick three or four different ones in a category, and he tells a unique story. Sometimes he interviews them. You know, we love music. Like, that's a beautiful song by Adam Sams. Well, but it's a sad song. I love sad songs, but at the same time, I like to also get lifted up every once in a while, too, you know? And we got to hold our head up and hold ourselves together. Sorry, this cough is coming every once in a while. What I was thinking about the Professor of Rock, for why I even mentioned him, is I watch him on YouTube a lot of times. Music therapy became a really big part of my life, listening to music, watching people teach music, watching them using all their abilities to teach people with disabilities music, especially brain injuries, to understand music and understand it in a different way that people can. If they didn't have a brain injury, it's amazing because it goes to different parts of your brain. And so the thing I'm trying to say, I got kind of hung up on it, I'm trying to remember what I was saying, is that the Professor of Rock takes an extremely unique view of the artist and breaks down every tidbit of their story in a way that brings this artist back to life, even if they've passed away or even if they're still alive and they don't perform anymore or whatever, and he's interviewing them one-on-one. And I recommend, and this is just me not plugging anybody on purpose, but I just think he's cool, and it's good for helping you when you have something bothering you or something sad going on. He'll bring up a sad song sometimes that will make you actually wind up feeling positive or vice versa. And I just love the Professor of Rock. That's just a side category of tonight's show. I didn't even mean to talk about him, but he's a really cool guy. I highly recommend him. He's on YouTube. I don't know if he's on Facebook or not, but I've been watching on YouTube a lot. And you know, I love music. If those who know me, it helped me recover. The person you hear speaking today, even though my voice sounds rough, and it's deeper than usual. Music is a part of my soul. My mother, Jessie Mae, boy, she could sing. She could play the guitar. She had an acoustic guitar. She could play the harmonica some. She could play the accordion. She had what was called a 20 bass accordion, and that's a big one. And she played that thing beautiful and did it in concert. And so music is a healing thing, and I believe that's where I got part of my love for music. But I tell people that I once did a program with the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina and USC Aiken that we called A Musical Awakening. It was partially my story and mixed in with other people who've had similar stories, that music was a healing find for them that they didn't expect. And yet I have met some people, and it's very rare, very few, very sad, but I had a person say, I cannot listen to music ever. It drives me nuts. I said, you're kidding. I was telling them about music therapy. No, sir, don't talk about music with me. It makes me angry. And that was one of the rare cases I've ever seen where music didn't make a person happy but angry instead. Music, if it's the right kind of music, man, it gets me ready to party and have a good time. It gets me relaxed, gives me energy, and that's just a side effect of it. And I know I've talked about that before, but it's been a long time since I have. You know, we last talked about sacrifice. Okay, let me see what number four is. I can't even read it good from here. Let me see. Oh, okay. Careers and income for people with disabilities. Oh, it looked worded wrong to me. Careers, and I didn't say jobs. A job and a career can be loosely fit together, but I want everybody on Brain Injury Radio forever from now on, when they think of me, to think of my career. Not mine, but yours and mine. You know, even your dog has a career of watching over you. Bandit's over here asleep on the couch. He looks like he's passed out. But he's watching quietly. If someone knocked at the door, he'd jump up, land on the floor, not even know where he's at, and start barking like crazy, like, all right, who's coming to my door? He's like that. He knows his job. He knows his career. If I'm walking outside with him and he has to go to do his business, I'm walking around towards the backyard, and here comes this dog running towards me, ready to pounce on me. The dog is 5 times bigger than Bandit, and all of a sudden Bandit goes into kiwo jiwo mass murder screaming sound. It's unbelievable. Deep, high, everything. Everything. It's crazy. And the dog turns, looks at him, like runs off like, man, that dog's crazy. And Bandit's standing there with his hair so high off his body, it looks like he's going to jump off, starts wagging his tail, runs over and kisses me. And so don't tell me your dog has a job. It has a career. So when it comes to you, the brain injury survivor or disability survivor, don't think of if you have a job, just being a job. Don't think the things you do don't matter. Even if you're volunteering for it, even if you're doing it as a favor for somebody else, think of it as your career, because it really is. Unless you just walk in and say, hey, I'll help for a little while, and never do that again, you know. But if it's something you do on a regular basis, if it's something you do and you have a passion for it, a passion?
A passion, he says.
Yes, a passion. Well, who are all those people in here?
I don't know.
We should have a passion for life. Some people have a passion for making perfect steaks. And we love them, don't we? Because they know how to make the best steaks. They make the big moolah-boolah because they know how to make steaks and not burn them or make someone go home with the gripes in their stomach and an upset stomach. You know, somebody with same thing with chicken. I want to be the grill master. I want to be the cook or the chef of the house. Mama mia, that's what I say. I want the goodies. Give me the stuff. You know, or you say, eh, throw some grease on it and throw some fries or something in there. And just put a lid on it and it catches on fire. And what's the customer going to do? I can't believe you do that to my food. I'm going to beat you up. And I'm saying it very nicely. I'm being silly, too. But have a passion about your life. Even a passion for understanding your disability. A passion for looking at yourself in the mirror and actually pointing to your face and saying, you're great. You can do it. My mom made me do that. And I said, Mom, that's crazy. I don't even like to look at myself anymore. I got a brain injury. She said, now you stop that. You're the same beautiful boy I ever had. You're older now and you just are in recovery and you're having a hard time walking and talking. I don't want to look at myself. And she held me by my shoulders, loving me, kissed me on the shoulder, on the neck, I mean, and said, my cheek, I can't talk right. Kissed me right on the cheek, a big old, and said, Les Paul, one day you're going to look back and remember this day as one of your life-changing days. She said, I won't be here forever always with you. I'm getting old, but I love you, son, and you can do it. She was the most motivational person I ever knew. And I know some motivational people, some super motivational people, but my mother, because she was with me so long, helping trying to set me free. She wasn't trying to say, Les, don't try to do anything. Stay here with me at home for the rest of your life. I'll take care of you. No. She pushed me. My brother Phil, my brother Steve, all my brothers pushed me to take a little step out when I was scared to. Learn how to sit in the car again and know it was mine. I'm like, whose car is this, Les? I mean, Steve. To my brother Steve, and he says, well, Les, this is your car. Are you serious? I like the color of this thing. When did you get this? This is your car, Les Paul. And I'm going, what? I would lose my voice and not even be able to speak. I didn't recognize my own car sitting in our front yard. And I didn't drive it for a couple of years until I was approved to drive again. And so I'm telling you a lot of very private things about me because if I could do that, I love to say this to everybody, you can do it too and better. We live in a time of modern technology, and sometimes I consider it to be a vice and a blessing. Sometimes it's more of a curse and something you hate because you get this new technical guru thing that just says it's going to work for you, and you're about to beat it into the floor because it won't work. Only find out you didn't know how to turn the switch on because it's too scientifically complicated. Anybody been there? I have. I watched my brother Phil one day. This is something I've never told before. He said, Les, come on over to my house with me. I said, okay, what you doing? He said, I want you to help me put in this, I can't think what you call them. You put it in your bathroom along the wall to put towels, it was a big, beautiful rack that he had purchased, and he wanted me to help him assemble it. And it was real pretty. It was real wood. It had a brass kind of a look on it, real, real luxurious looking, very nice. And it had some cheaper looking things on it that you couldn't see, kind of like stores do with it. They'll sell you the best looking something until you find out, wow, that was a piece of junk. But he paid a lot of money for this thing. And I said, Phil, this thing's so complicated. I don't know what I'm doing. He said, I won't settle for that. You're going to help me. So help me, God, if I have to beat you up, brother. I said, Phil. He said, don't get me mad at you. And he got mad at that thing because it was like 600 pieces. And so he was trying to put it together, and I was putting the other piece together. And so he put one part on the opposite side, and I put the other one. And we found out we put them on the wrong side. Both of us did. We sat there and laughed about it for a while. And so 3 hours later, he started to get really frustrated. It was almost 75% finished. I said, Phil, I can see it. I can see it. He said, you can? He says, I can't. And he takes it out the door, runs out in the yard, dragging it out the door real fast. I said, what are you doing? And he says, watch this. This is how much I love that thing. He jumped up and down on it, beat it with the hammers, and busted it all to pieces. I'm not kidding. My brother Phil did that. I had never seen him so mad. He said, I didn't need it. Well, what if I wanted it? Darn. You didn't. I promise you, unless you want it now. He said, if it's going to be this hard, I don't want it. And he got mad. And the moral of that story is we all get mad. We all get frustrated. We all get confused. I saw my brother blow his top like I'd never seen. It actually scared me. I said, Phil, oh, my God. And in comes my mom. She'd been at town all day. She walks in the house and says, oh, my God, what's all that banging? And he was just finishing. And he was throwing the pieces into a big trash can we had in the backyard. And so the moral of the story is don't let my brother handle your furniture. He might destroy it. We actually had a big laugh about it after he was mad for a while. And we went out and got a steak together, all of us, and laughed about it and laughed at Phil. But my mom said, Phil, you could have been a little bit more tactful about that. He said, no, Mom, you don't understand. I enjoyed it. That thing was not coming together by me, and I wasn't going to let anybody else do it but me. He was a great jokester, and so he didn't like that thing. And the moral of that story is, I don't know what it is. But that's how my brother Phil was that day. We also loved to go golfing. But another golfer that I knew, he's passed on and gone to heaven, Mr. Willie Jones. He used to be a caddy for some golfers at the Augusta National and other golf courses around Augusta, Georgia. The Augusta National is where the Masters is played, but he played at several different golf places. He was totally blind from a car accident. He gave me total permission to share his story before he passed away. He said, you can share my story anytime, Les Paul. And that's a fact. I mean, he spoke on my radio show one time. Well, his eyes were destroyed in his car accident. He had I think he said it was a DUI, and he went through the windshield face first, and his eyes were destroyed as his eyes hit the busting glass. The first time I met him, he says, hey, are you Les Paul Morgan? I said, yes, who are you? My name's Will. You're going to the school with me. I said, am I? And then I turned my head and see that he's totally blind. You can see it. I said, what do you mean? I have to have a GPS and I don't have one. I'll be your GPS. I said, sir, I got nervous. I'm saying, Cindy, somebody help me. Oh, yeah, you're going with him to a school and you're going to go with his dog. His dog was a trained dog by the guide dog, Association, Federation, whatever it's called, a well-trained guide dog for helping people who are blind or visually impaired. And he said, my dog will give you directions. Don't have any fear. And I said, oh, my God. He said, his dog's going to drive the car for me. Help. His dog hopped in the back of my car. He said, no, Mr. Morgan, I will get you to your building. I said, this is the thing. I've never been there before, ever. There was some place in Augusta, Georgia that we drove a long drive to. And Mr. Willie said, so I can tell you've never ridden with somebody blind before, have you? It doesn't mean I'm blind, though. I said, huh? You've already told me and shown me that you don't have eyes at all. Yeah, they were destroyed. They were totally wiped out in my car accident. I had a brain injury, everything. And Willie, we became really good friends. Him and I loved each other. He was an awesome guy to work with. He did a lot of great things to help people with disabilities. Willie and I went to that school, and you're probably saying, well, how did you get there? You don't know how to get there. He can't see. Well, he can see, like sonar, because he knew exactly where I was supposed to turn. He said, turn out of the driveway, make a right turn, and 0.2 miles. I said, what did you do, get GPS directions to come, or do you have something in the headphone? No, sir, I don't. I know how to get us there. I know exactly where it's at. I said, how? And I was nervous driving him. Well, to make a very long story short, he drove me there better than most GPS can get you there. No wrong turns. The only fraction of a mistake it made is because I didn't know where we're going. I didn't see the driveway he was telling me to turn into that was right in front of the school, so I went past it and we had to back up. And so how did Mr. Willie, who, excuse me, is a brain injury survivor and a totally blind man, give me directions to a school for the very first time I arrive and meet him that I had no sense on how to get there and I was directionally challenged and wouldn't know how to drive out of the parking lot? Well, he said he had a sixth and a seventh sense. The sixth one is that he never gave up, ever. He said, I never give up. He said, I might say I'm going to give up, but I say, Lord, forgive me. And he goes right back to it. Mr. Willie was amazing, but you can be exactly like him. I'll never forget the first time my mom met Mr. Willie. We were at an engagement for Walton Auctions where we all had to dress up and we were going to have a dinner. And there's like 40 or 50, maybe 60 people there. And we're at this nice restaurant. He walks up to my mother's, never met her, says, Miss Morgan, your hair is beautiful tonight. And my mom says, pardon me? And says, oh, my gosh, you're blind. How can you say that? You have beautiful shoes on, too, Mrs. Morgan. What? And tears came out of my mother. You can't see, can you? Do you have a camera on you that's connected to your brain? What is this? And Willie says, no, I know exactly what you have on. He described her dress to a T. She had this beautiful long gown on. She had those pearl necklaces that you have on are beautiful, Mrs. Morgan. And my mom says, all right, Buster, this is a trick. Are you really blind? You wouldn't do that to an old lady, would you? And she says, he's blind, right? I said, I don't know, Mom. You tell me. And she said, you're my son. You're supposed to help me. And for just one moment, I let her sweat a little bit. I said, yes, he's blind. And he said, it's all in how you present yourself. It's all in how you think of yourself. And it's all in how you live your life. With a glass totally empty, dry, like the sand on the moon, or like the ocean full to the very top, or a lake full, or a pond that's full, or the brim is about to bust over and run into the grass. And he was a glass always full, running over the top kind of a person. And just thinking about him, I can see him. He was a beautiful, handsome guy. Loved him. But he passed away about 4 years ago, I guess. I'm losing track of how long it was, but worked with him all the time. And, you know, I didn't plan on going off of that, but the reason I did that is because, you know, advocacy and empowerment, those are two of my main things I live off of. They give me a day. They give me the right stuff. It's kind of like, I don't know if you love V8 juice, that when my dad was working and alive and he worked in a construction job for a while where he left his nuclear job where he was a nuclear reactor operator. He became a construction engineer and did the electrical part of it. And so he's out there. And, oh, gosh, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and my brother Phil, got him hired. And so my brother thought he was just going to go to work and work with my dad, and everything's going to be great. So it's going to be easy. And so everybody knowing my dad, that was a great electrical engineer, knew all these younger guys, he could work 10 times around them. They thought Phil, my brother, could. They told him to find a gigawatt. They told him, can you go get the gigawatt over there? I need 10 of them. Where do I find them, sir? They're over there in a bucket. And so my brother Phil's out there hunting and looking and looking and looking. And my dad sees him. And they told me that, and some of the guys that were there, and my dad, my brother, he said, they told me that I was supposed to pick up 10 gigawatts. And he said, I didn't know what they were. That's high-powered electricity. You can't pick them up. They were cutting up with him. And they thought he would know it, but he didn't. And he didn't stay on that job long because he didn't like it. So that's another thing. Find your passion of what you wanted. You know, if you don't like what you're doing, you're stuck in it forever, you'll be hurting and complaining forever. There's some reasons some people do keep jobs like that. Maybe it's a high-paying job and you can't find anything better. Maybe you haven't had a job for a long time as a person with a disability and you want to go back to work. That was me for 17 and a half years. I didn't work at all. Told by everybody, I should stay home. Don't go to work, Mr. Morgan. Your health is too bad. You'll hurt yourself. You'll injure your head. You won't be able to do anything. Your memory's too bad. All I ever heard. I'd say, but why don't you ask me? You're the counselors. You're the people trained to help me, and you're telling me to go home? Go home, Mr. Morgan. And I'll say his name. His name was Mr. Cool. He actually went by Mr. Cool, and that was his name. And I said, Mr. Cool, I hate to tell you this, but I've got to say it. I had some of my mom's blood in me. I could feel it. He said, "Woo, you're turning red, Mr. Moore. What's wrong?" I said, "You're the most uncool Mr. Cool I've ever met. How could you treat a person so bad that has a disability who wants to work and wants to find out how and asking you to help me find something, but Mr. Morgan, there's nothing for you?" I kept going back, and I kept going back, and I kept going back. And my brother Phil would push me to go back. My mother would push me to go back. My dad would push me to go back. My family would all come together and not allow me to surrender. So if you're alone, it's hard. Doesn't mean it's impossible. Doesn't mean life is over, does it? What it means to me is that we've got to work harder and harder and harder to find our inner strength. And that's what that man caused me to do. It's like he busted me against a cement wall and I had nowhere to turn. Either fall down and surrender or show what I was made of, even despite my brain injury, even despite my short-term memory loss, even despite it felt like nobody liked me or wanted to talk to me. But you know what? They were wrong. Because I started volunteering. I decided I wouldn't even try to go back to work. I'd go volunteer. I wanted to volunteer. I didn't even want to try to go back to work. I was sick of trying. And did you know that's where I got my possibility of going to work? By volunteering and forgetting about myself and forgetting about a paycheck and forgetting about money when I needed it desperately. If it wasn't for my mom and dad and my family, I'd have been in poverty on the streets. It's just the truth. I didn't make enough to survive then. I was on SSI, and it was very low income back then. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can overcome when you dare yourself to dream, dare yourself to believe in yourself, dare yourself to advocate for yourself, dare yourself to fight for your inner empowerment. Find yourself, and your dreams will one day possibly come true. It's not guaranteed you're going to win, but how many things come in life that are easy that are worth fighting for? It's usually the hard things. It's usually the things that just about knocked you to the ground and put you back down. And then down and down and down. Oh my gosh, I can't get up. Down, 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 Mr. Morgan, down. Down on your knees till you get mad enough, you get frustrated enough that you're going to push with all your might to break that glass invisible barrier that they've put around you that was never there to start with, but you thought it was. I thought it was there. I could feel it. I could see it. I could feel it like a steel cage that I was inside of it, like an animal caged in steel. And so if I said, I have a disability and I can't work, I can't. It's impossible. If I say, I can't go to work, I won't go to work. If I say, I'll never do, well, you can count on whatever it is, you'll never do it. If you say, you know, I used to have a dream, well, that meant you close that door, open it back up and work on it. Get a drill and bore a hole through it. The best way to run through a fire is run through a fire, cover your face, and just bust through it, not stand in it and be burned to death. I think sometimes America has lost its edge because they're not counting on the people with disabilities for being the main heroes of American employment. We need more awareness for people with disabilities in employment. We need higher paying jobs for people with disabilities. And we need people to stand up and say, it's only right to fight for your right for yourself, to live the American dream for yourself, to never give up on giving up on anything. Don't allow yourself to fail just because you said I'm a failure. I said it many times. I called myself a failure. I called myself a quitter. And the only reason was that it happened is because I quit. I said, I can't go through this anymore. It's too much heartache. It's too much pain. It's too much anguish. It's too much sadness. I don't want to live. It was that bad. And yet you hear me struggling with my voice tonight to say, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. It's going to be harder than you ever imagined. It's going to be like sitting on top of bricks and trying to peel them off your feet when they're lifting up, trying to lift them all, big concrete bricks, and breaking an iron curtain down. But it's not impossible. I believe in the possible. I believe in the independent living movement, what I work in. The independent living movement has been my life's blood for so many years. I can't believe that I went from 22 years old to 17 and a half years later not working because everybody told me, to the point I began to believe them. And so I laid my arms down and said, I quit. I can't take it anymore, Mom. Dad, please leave me alone. I can't take it anymore. What do you want me to do? Sweat blood? What do I have to do? Squeeze blood from a turnip? You can't do that and save a life. You're going to die from it. But if you believe in yourself, if you encourage yourself, and the people around you are encouraging, you will find that dream that you are after. And I'm hoping, I apologize for having the really rough voice tonight, but maybe that needs to be too, to show that I'm not giving up, even though I'm struggling talking because I have laryngitis or whatever it is. But, you know, the biggest part of disability to me that always gets me is if you look at or type it up, it shows disability. And I wrote D-I-S, lowercase, / capital A-B-I-L-T-Y. And I like writing it that way because I think of it as stop dissing my abilities. And that's what we sometimes do. Oh, I can't do that, Les Paul. You know I can't do that work. Well, you certainly can't, sir. What do you mean I can't? No, I wouldn't even try. I didn't mean that. No, I sometimes throw it around backwards on them. Working with these wonderful students has taught me to kind of challenge those kids this way. You know, kids are our future, and we get to meet some amazing youth with disabilities in the school system. We love it. It's our passion. And I never even imagined I would get to teach in the school system. And I'm not saying I'm a certified teacher, but I'm a certified peer supporter advocate teacher who teaches in the school system, in the classrooms, as does Megan and several other of our employees. There's six of us, isn't it, Megan? And we go all over the whole area teaching the curriculum of Career Boost, which is how you can learn how. Did you know some of the things I have learned? Excuse me for my voice. I'm having to clear it some. Did you know if you think there's no way I could ever go to college? There are grants out there like crazy that you can add up. I even found for a student with a brain injury, like six different credits that he can earn. I said credits. I forgot the word I just said. What was it I said, Meg? I'm trying to say it. Okay. Lost my word. That shows I have a brain injury. I just forgot it, but we all forget. Well, it's not credits. That's what threw me off. I said credits. Like scholarships. That's what I meant, college scholarships. We help the kids learn about scholarships, and they work and find out what they are. Did you know there are scholarships that you can pay for your way to college and actually have more money than it costs sometimes? And you can use that towards things in school like food and other things. I mean, there's amazing ways to help students and people with disabilities work their way into a future. And that's pretty much what this show is about tonight. And because my voice is breaking up so bad, I'm not going to quit, but for tonight, I'm going to play some music, and I might come back if my voice clears up. I didn't know it was going to sound this bad. I do have something like, I can't say it. Well, you know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Les Paul. This is the Dreamcatchers. I'm not signing off, but I'm going to play some other songs. So here's another song right here. Let me see.
The first time is the right time. It's the best time. Because in no time, it'll be show time. Then it's slow time. That's why the first time is the right time. It's the best time. Is the right time, it's the best time. Because in no time, it'll be show time, then it's show time. That's why the first time, it's the right time, it's the best time.
I didn't realize that song stopped that fast. Okay. I'm trying to say his name is an artist I met in Augusta, Georgia. I'm trying to remember his name. I don't know. I don't see it. Well, it helped my voice a little bit to stop there for a minute. I'm going to play another song just to give myself a little bit of a rest, because I didn't know it was as rough as it is tonight. Wow. I got a lot of songs. Let me see. I'm trying to get it open up. Oh, boy, did my computer freeze up. Okay, well, I can't even get the music started for some reason. Let me see if this one is okay. A great song. I can't even say his name I messed the name up when I put it in here. He's an artist that gave me a couple of his songs, and I'm looking for his name. But The Whole World Must Change is a great song. I met him at in Augusta, Georgia, too, when that big music conference came up. I can't think what it's called right now. There's a big music festival in Augusta, Georgia, and I can't say it. Arts in the Heart of Augusta. That's what it's called. I just remember. And I met him and said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I just said, "Oh, I'm with the Brain Injury Radio Show. What do you do? Tell me about yourself." And he gave me a CD right away. He said, "Here, you don't have to buy that. If you want to play my music, you can. And I'd appreciate it." And so I was going to say I loved your music, hearing it and everything. It was really wonderful. And so The Whole World Must Change, wow, it's a beautiful song, isn't it? I don't know about everything changing, but it seems like the whole world has changed. And we need to find the things that matter. We need to figure out what doesn't. And we need to find out who's near and dear to us that we really love and care about. And maybe step away from people who are people who really aren't friends. There's a word I came up with a long time for people who I thought were my friends when I was younger, when I was telling you I was real shy. I later called them frenemies, like friends who are enemies. And that's strong words to say about someone, put friendship in it. But sometimes you find out the people who you think love you and care for you and have your best thoughts and hopes in the world for you, and while you're recovering are struggling just to make it after you've recovered from your, not from, but to the highest level you can function no matter what. Well, there are some people that will take advantage of you, use and abuse you in many situations. I found that out many times from people that I really thought I trusted when they stole my money, or someone who ran. I never forget this. I was probably 10 or 11, maybe 12, probably 10 or 11, and I was a big Star Trek fan. Well, I had got my very first Star Trek model, and I wasn't big into building models, but when I saw the Starship Enterprise way back then, in model form, I thought it was going to be just snap, snap, and you put it together and like, okay, spray some paint on it. No. It was very complicated. It had about 500 pieces, and I go, "Oh, my gosh. Dad, can you help me?" And he says, "No. You bought it. You saved up for it. You do it." I was mad at him. "Can you help me a little bit? I don't know what I'm doing." "No. You don't learn unless you learn how to do it, Les. I just need a little guidance. I don't know." And he just goes, "Shut up. Be quiet. I don't want to hear it again. Don't ask me again." And he looked at me with an angry face, and so I said, "Okay." I went in the room in my bedroom with the big box in my hand, all excited about it. It had decals on it. It had these big warp engines, starship engines on it. It looked like a big spaceship that you see on television. It was really cool and very expensive one for its day then. It was cheap then. You'd have to pay about $100-something for one. Now I think I got it for like $20 back then, maybe cheaper, maybe 19 or 18, something like that, because a long, long, long time ago I was a kid. And models and planes and things like that have gone way up. But anyway, my feelings were hurt. I set the box over on the dresser, and I said, "That's all you stupid." And, of course, my dear mom happened to be standing nearby. I didn't know it at all. And she walked in the room madder than a fire flame-throwing stick about to pop me on the butt with it, and says, "Les Paul, you ever say that to yourself, I'll spank you." And she said, "You know I'm not, but I feel like it." I said, "Well, Mom, every time I ask Dad for help, he won't help me. I know this isn't your thing, so you're not going to help me." "Who said? I know how to use a needle and thread." She worked in a sewing factory at the time. And she ran the big sewing machines that had like several sewing machine threads on them. In fact, a lot of my clothes when I was a teenager came from the factory that she worked in. And she would literally, she'd say, you know, she'd say, can I make some extra clothes for my son? He just can't seem to find the right size to fit him or a thing he wants to look. I want to make some. To the floor manager. And he let her do it. Excuse me. In her spare time, she would go and put the shirts together from the extra materials they had and everything. Didn't cost them a dime. It was just the leftover materials. And I'd go to school, and kids, wow, Les Paul, I love that shirt. Where'd you get that? My mom made it. You're lying. My mom really did make this for real. So she was a very creative woman. And she's a very special lady. She just knew how to do things extraordinary. And so she looks at that box. She says, Les Paul, I never saw a box work on itself. I guess it could, but I don't think it will. She said, I recommend that you sit down and you read the manual. And so I sat down and I slowly read it. And then she read over it to make sure I was reading it right. And before long, she was helping me put it together. My dad comes in and yells at her, I want him to do that by himself. You come out of the room. Okay, Les, I've got it started. She helped me get it started, and I did work with her, which showed me how the pieces went together. I finished and built the entire thing, painted it, put the decals on it all by myself. It just took a little bit of extra effort. It took a little bit of my mom saying, what are you doing over here staring at this thing? Go ahead and make it. And that's your life. That's your life ahead of you. Go ahead and make something of your life. Don't just sit around and dream. Go ahead and think of empowering words, empowering thoughts, empowering visions you have in your mind. Say you're going to do something nobody else has ever done, maybe. Maybe something someone else has done, but you have a better idea. But nobody would ever believe I did it. Who cares? If you do it, you do it. You know? We're a country full of inventors. A lot of the things we use today were invented by people by accident. A lot of the things, like light bulbs, they were built on purpose, but it took thousands and thousands of tries before the light bulb would light for just a second and burn out, and flash, pop, 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 flash, pop, pop. Then 2 seconds, pop. 2 seconds, pop. 2 seconds, pop. 1 second, pop. He didn't give up. Not giving up and learning the proper way to do it and getting with friends who you care about, who care about you, and working in teams will help you build up a life worth living. It'll help your dreams come true. It'll help you believe in yourself. And it'll help you even when you're frustrated. Like, I often get frustrated. Don't think Les Paul doesn't know. In 2021, I had several things go wrong. My health got worse. I was in a hospital multiple times. I mean, I probably had 15 major hospital visits in 2021. One thing after another, after another, after another. CAT scan, CAT scan, CAT scan, CAT scan. Then go to another hospital. Then one doctor tells me, my chief neurosurgeon, who has known me for many years, when he saw me after not seeing me for a few years, said, oh my God, he looked like he was going to pass out when he saw me. I can't believe it's you, Les Paul. I said, what is it? He said, to be honest, I never thought you'd walk in looking as healthy and as well as you do. What he didn't know is I had a splitting migraine. What he didn't know is hurting all over. But I have a very well hidden disability. And it happens to be brain injury and brain aneurysm and other unrelated disabilities, but we learn how to thrive and survive. I want people who are out there who didn't call in tonight to know that we care about you here at Dreamcatchers and the Brain Injury Radio Network. We love helping in any way we can, and I'm going to continue on, but my health has been kind of preventing me tonight because my throat is really raspy, and it's making it hard for me to talk clearly. And so I'm going to get ready to sign off in a few minutes. I'll find one more final song to play. I've got so many of them. Let me see. Well, this one describes me. And this is by a friend of mine from Aiken, South Carolina. Also by a band named, by the name of Lame, L-A-M-E. And the song is I'm Not Perfect. This is Les Paul signing out with the song by Lame. I am not perfect. I'm proud of it. Woohoo! Good night, everybody.
Lord knows I struggle every day. Thank heaven my gracious God forgave me. He gave his life to guide my way. Oh, I gave my life to Jesus. All my choices weren't that tough. I only did the things I wanted to do. No Holy Spirit to say enough. I am saved, but I'm not perfect. But I know someone who is. I am saved, but I'm not perfect by any means. Not at all my will, but his. I'm not perfect. No, 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 I'm not perfect. Even though I am a Christian, I don't lead a perfect life. When I strive to be like Jesus, I feel I'm walking. I'm not perfect. No, 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 I'm not perfect. The journey's hard to be a believer. It's a long, hard road to go. If I only put my trust in him, I know the blessing's mine.
This is Les Paul, the Dreamcatchers. Keep up with Brain Injury Radio and keep up with Dreamcatchers, and we'll be back soon. Talk to you later. Good night.